Hey, what's up, you guys? My name is Brancy, and welcome to the first ever The 100 Recap Show here on Variety Radio Online. Today, I'm going to be talking to you guys about the season 4 premiere of The 100 titled Echoes. Essentially, this first episode deals right after the season 3 finale, and we are dealing with the fallout from the destruction of the City of Light. Almost immediately, the blame is placed on Clark. Echo and the rest of Asgaida are placing the entirety of the blame of what happened with the City of Light and the destruction of Polis on Wanheda, and they demand for Wanheda to be taken captive. However, luckily enough, just as they are about to take Clark captive, it is revealed that Prince Rowan survived the attack. So Clark and Abby immediately move to start helping Rowan. However, Echo is not having any of it. She swears that Sky Crew is responsible for everything that happened to Polis and everything that happened with the City of Light. So she is very resistant to let anybody help Rowan except for Asgaida. Echo also declares herself as the current commander-in-chief since she is the leader of the Queen's Guard. And Antari, the previous commander, has died, and Prince Rowan is unable to lead. She declares that she is the one to answer all the questions and to lead until a new commander can ascend. However, just as Echo makes this declaration, an ambassador steps up and declares that no, this is not true. And until a new commander can ascend, the ambassadors will lead the coalition and the rest of Polis. And if Asgaida wants control over Polis, then they will have to take it by force. Of course, as soon as I find out that I like this lady, I like this ambassador, she is murdered by Echo, her throat is slit open, and Asgaida says, consider this being taken by force. Echo also demands that nobody from Sky Crew should be allowed to leave Polis at the time. However, luckily enough, there is a secret passageway through the Flamekeeper's area, so Clark and the rest of the group manage to get the majority of their people out safely while formulating a plan. Essentially, what happens is the illusion is given that Sky Crew wants to surrender to Asgaida, so Bellamy goes to meet with Echo, while Jaha brings the body of seemingly Antari to Asgaida up in the chambers, and in fact, it is not Antari in the bag, which thankfully they don't open, is Octavia. So when news arrives that Sky Crew wants to surrender, Echo and the rest of the Asgaida guards, except for only two of them, go down to meet with Bellamy to discuss the terms of the surrender. While Echo and Bellamy meet, Octavia tears herself out of the bag and kills the remaining Asgaida guards and lets Clark and Abby in to help Rowan. And just as they pull the bullet out of Rowan, Sky Crew is found out and Echo figures out what's going on and they storm back in and they are just about to kill Clark and Abby when Rowan wakes up and declares that he is going to have to make the decision on what to do. After Clark promises to give Rowan the flame, Rowan decides and announces to the rest of Polis that Lexa's coalition of the 13th colony will be held and that Sky Crew is to be protected and respected as a part of the coalition. Of course, this upsets Echo, and Echo tries to explain to Rowan that the people of Asgaida don't respect him because he hasn't been home in years. So she explains that the only way to gain their respect is to bring home the head of Wanheda. Truthfully, I have to admit, even though of course we don't want to see Clark die and we don't want to see our group get split apart or anything, I definitely have to agree with Echo on this point. In my logic, it would have made more sense to just kill Wanheda on the spot. Obviously, I don't want that to happen, but if you are looking at war strategy, that probably would have been the best move for Rowan to gain the respect of his people. Because if you look at it, Rowan was supposed to gain that respect when he went up against Commander Lexa in the battle last season. However, Lexa would have killed him if she hadn't decided to kill the Ice Queen instead. So, technically, he was already beat by a woman and only became the king, I guess he is the king now, because of the death of his mother and the death of his sister. So, he's already looking a little bit weak in the eyes of Asgaida. So I definitely agree with Echo. The way to gain their respect would have been killing Clark, considering she is Wanheda, the commander of death. However, obviously we didn't want that to happen, but I definitely think that this is going to have some repercussions for Rowan, and the coalition at this point is very, very fragile. Amidst all of the chaos in Polis, there's a much deeper situation going on. Clark and Bellamy at this point are the only ones that know the truth of why Allie created the City of Light. And finally, it gets revealed when they all have a discussion with Kane and Abby about the fact that Allie created the City of Light to kind of survive the fact that the nuclear reactors on Earth are melting down and that they have a roughly 6 months to live before the entire world is consumed by radiation. And of course, radiation levels are already rising. Now, Abby questions whether or not Clark actually believes this to be true, and Clark swears that she definitely believes that it's true, and Bellamy agrees. But they do ask Raven back at Arcadia to get some more information on the fact, and she does, and she finds that in fact Allie's claims were true. The nuclear reactors are melting down. They have roughly 6 months left to live, but according to Raven, it's going to get much worse before then. It seems that in fact this is already becoming an issue, because we see in the very last scene of the episode two people walking seemingly in the desert. We're not really sure what the situation is in their area, because we of course have not seen them before, but they of course are consumed by radiation and fire, and yeah, definitely things are going to be a problem. We don't know where technically in respect to that area, and maybe things will get worse in other areas of the world. Some reactors may be melting down at a quicker rate, but yeah, it's going to be definitely an issue. But as Raven explains, everybody from the Ark has built up a type of tolerance to the radiation from living in space, so they have a little bit more time. But of course, the grounders have adapted as well, so it's going to be very interesting to see the kind of decline that everybody's health takes. And yeah. So essentially, Clark and Bellamy and everybody else head back to Arcadia, while Kane and Abby remain in Polis to keep an eye on everything. So not sure what kind of trouble that's going to bring for Kane and Abby, and I'm not really sure what's going to happen with everybody arriving back at Arcadia. But speaking of Arcadia, while Raven is looking up all this information, Jasper is declining more and more with his mental state. He writes a note to Monty and looks at Maya's favorite painting one last time before he puts a gun to his mouth and seemingly is about to pull the trigger before Monty calls Jasper in to discuss the future of Arcadia and essentially the entire world. Upon hearing the news that they only have 6 months left to live at most, Jasper seems to kind of get this weird acceptance, and he goes out to watch the sunrise. And I'm thinking that's definitely going to play into what we saw in the season 4 trailer, where Jasper's living like a carefree lifestyle, and hopefully it kind of is what he needs to figure out what his priorities are. And there's nothing like fight or flight response when you think you're about to die. Everything comes into perspective. So hopefully Jasper will get out of the state that he's been in. Love Jasper's character, so hopefully he'll kind of get a wake-up call with this. Some happy bits of the episode, considering the fact that the episode was mostly dark and sad and depressing. At least Monty and Harper are having some quality bonding time, if you will. And of course, the Indra Kane hug was legendary. I'm not very sure what is going to go on with Octavia this season, because in the trailer, it seems that she is fully embracing a grounder role. And with her interaction with Indra, telling her basically that Pike has been taken care of, I'm not sure if Indra is going to be encouraging Octavia's behavior or possibly trying to mediate it. I'm not sure how far Octavia is going to escalate. Ever since one of the fan favorite characters, Commander Lexa, died, there's definitely been an absence in the 100 fandom. But of course, acknowledging Lexa's presence, we have Clark in this episode saying to Abby, "I loved her, Mom." And Abby says, "I know." To me, I think this kind of says that, you know, Clark has to go through her mourning. And unfortunately, Clark is going to have to mourn throughout war, because even though technically Sky Crew is not at war with people at this particular moment, there are of course the tensions with Asgeta that they are looking at. And then of course they're looking at battling the nuclear reactors and how they're going to figure out how to sustain life on Earth. But I do think that this mention of Lexa indicates that Clark is going to have that grieving process going on in the back of her mind the entire time, and that Lexa's presence is never going to be forgotten, that she is always going to be very much a part of the 100 world. The fandom is very split over Clark should be with Lexa or if Clark should be with Bellamy. Obviously, Lexa is no longer with us on the show, but of course the Clexa fans are very resistant to a Bellamy-Clark relationship. Quite personally, I think that Clark definitely needs time to mourn, though I think the evidence is all there for Bellamy's feelings for Clark and even Clark's feelings for Bellamy. But of course, she was in love with Lexa, and of course everybody has to admit that. It's right there. Clark said it herself. So we are just going to have to see how everything develops and how Clark is able to mourn and what's going on with Bellamy. And of course, now that Kane and Abby are back and sane, of course there's going to be something there, hopefully. In other news, Emory and Murphy take off. Emory citing reasons that her kind are no longer safe in Polis, and Murphy genuinely just because he's always been a loner himself and hasn't really ever fit in with the ARC crew. But either way, there's definitely going to be a lot of development going on with the threat of the nuclear reactors essentially destroying Earth. So we have only 6 months left to live, seemingly. I'm not sure how we're going to continue on with that knowledge. And of course, Octavia is still mourning Lincoln's death. Clark is still mourning Lex's death. Jasper is still mourning Maya's death. There's just a lot of death and mourning going on at the current time. And there's unfortunately not enough time to really process that the way a healthy person should be able to. But the threat of the end of the world is very near. And it'll be interesting to see where the storyline goes from here on out. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this recap. If you want to check out more from Variety Radio Online, you can visit our website at thevro.com. You can also check us out on social media. We are Variety Radio Online on Facebook, Instagram, and Tumblr, and we are at thevro on Twitter. As always, thank you guys so much for listening. Make sure to check all those things out, and I will see you guys next week for another The 100 Recap Show.